Welcome to the Women in Business radio show with Sian Murphy, connecting women in business around the globe.
Hello and welcome into the Women in Business radio show studio. I'm Sian Murphy. Say hello, Adele.
Hello, morning.
Our lovely co-host Adele. Who have we got in the studio with us today? We have got, I'll tell you what, it's absolutely fantastic to welcome back Lucy Hall into the studio. Hello, Lucy.
Hi, Sian.
So Lucy is the founder of Social Days. She's the founder of Digital Women and also of My Social Media Planner. And it is My Social Media Planner that is going to be sponsoring the Women in Business Big Show. So thank you so much for that. And we have got some of these wonderful social media planners actually in the studio with us. And they are there. Shall I tell you what I like about them? They look and they feel good, and I think that's just that's so important. That sort of, you know, you want to open them, but they've got that sort of like solid feel about them. They've some really super designs. You just want to open them up and start doing stuff. They look and they feel good. Also in the studio, we have got Katrina Festerazzi. Have I said that right?
I can't get my own name right.
Okay, I'm going to... I think if it's okay, we'll just stick with Katrina.
I answer to Oi.
So very, 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 very quickly, Katrina is a photographer. She's going to be talking to us in part two of the show about how to overcome your perhaps confidence issues. You know, as business people, we need to have photos done. They're really, I tell you what, yeah, I suppose there is a way around it, but the easiest way is just to sort of get over stuff and know how to get a good photo and to get a good photo and know that everybody actually can get a good photo, even me. even me. And I have a very particular problem when it comes to photographs. Also in the studio, we have Maddie with us. Hello, Maddie.
Hello.
And Maddie is spending the week with me. Goodness, poor Maddie. she's here doing work experiences. She's in the studio today. Maddie is a photographer and a writer, and she's going to be taking some photographs and writing up about her experience in the studio. So she's learning all sorts of bits and pieces. I think mainly how not to do it. Really. So welcome to the show, Maddie.
Thank you.
So let's get going, shall we, with Adele. Would you like to, well, I don't, you know, you'd think by now I'd know, wouldn't you? The trouble is, she said, I've got two sets of glasses, okay, and I have to wear the set of glasses that I use for walking around, which means I can't actually read a damn thing. So I can't see the screens, I can't see nothing, I can't see the buttons, I can see the on-air light, but I can't actually read what's next. But we start off, before we get to the interesting stuff, with a load of old waffle, really, about how you can connect with us and what's going on. So, Adele, would you like to tell people how they can listen to the show? Which sounds a bit daft, because you're listening to the show now. I've stuck all my papers to my chewing gum as well, so that's not cool, is it? Let me. I'll just get all of those. Disconnected, and you tell people how they can connect with us.
You can listen to us on Spotify, on Audible, on Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, and Alexa, but you must enable the Alexa skill. You can connect with us on Twitter on WIB Radio Live, Instagram with Women in Business Radio, and of course Facebook and LinkedIn with the Women in Business Radio Show.
On the Alexa thing and in Audible, I can actually listen to my Audible audiobooks. Mm. And I believe if you say Audible or whatever it is, Alexa, open up Audible book, Audible, the Women in Business radio show, that you will be able to see this. I won't admit to this, to knowing this, actually, because it means I'm wandering around my own house listening to myself.
But I
do it with my other audiobooks, and I've done it with other podcasts, so I don't actually like listening to myself. So I'm sort of fairly certain that you can do this on Alexa.
Oh, and remember, on Heart Somewhere.
We're somewhere on Heart, but we have no idea.
We're still waiting for somebody to tell us.
We have no idea how to find ourselves on there, but never mind. And did you see how they can connect with us out on social media? How could we not? We've got Lucy Hall in the studio. How could we not mention social media? Did you do that?
I did while you were.
Well, I was
the papers,
trying to get the stuff unstuck. Don't listen, Paul, Paul's studio owner. Don't listen to any of that. There's no chewing gum anywhere, Paul. It's all fine. So you can become the supporting member of the Women in Business Radio Show by visiting the Radio Show website. So that's the Women in Business Radio Show.com. We're redoing it. It's terrible. it's awful. It's it's embarrassing. But never mind. Hey ho, it is in makeover. It is what it is. Can't do everything perfectly. There's something on there that says like become a member. And what else have we got? I've got here. It says something like it says VIP tickets on the website. Oh, that's it. Yes. So we have the Women in Business Big Show, which is on August the 25th at Longfield Academy. We have lovely Lucy Hall and my social media planner are sponsoring that, and of course Adele also, because she isn't just my co-host. She's got her own business, and Adele has been sponsoring the Women in Business Big Show before you were doing this. Actually,
I did.
So we have VIP tickets. They are £49. You get all sorts of add-ons that you don't get if you're coming along as a free guest. Everybody gets in to see the speakers, everybody gets to see the exhibitors, everybody gets to go to the networking, but we have some special stuff for the VIP guests. So they get some special talks, they get to spend a day with one of the Future Insights team, pulling apart, going through all of their finances and their business plans. They also get to come and be a guest on the radio show.
Why not?
And I'm sure they get something else. I just can't remember what it is. They've got basically some special workshops. And you can get the VIP tickets for that by going to the Women in Business Big Show.com. And if Mark is doing his stuff in the background properly
while he's listening to this,
so that he knows exactly what he's supposed to be doing. There should be something on there that says get a VIP ticket.
Exactly.
So we'd love to see you there as a VIP, and you get a badge as well. Mm. You're on your lanyard. You get a VIP.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth it just for.
I just think so. Just get a special one.
Just
time with us.
Just how could they resist? I don't know the things we do. Okay, so for those of you who haven't listened to the show before, we now have a bit of a, what should we call it, like a round robin. It's sort of where we go around the table and we iron out some of the things that have happened during the week. We talk about things that have helped us in our business. And the thing is, our guests don't know this. Okay, we don't tell them that we're going to do this. Mm. So for two reasons. Number one, we find out if they've ever listened to the show before, because then they'll know. And like, I'll tell you what, I'll get this ready. But also, actually, we don't want them to prepare stuff. Sometimes it's about having a bit of a gut reaction and just coming up with something rather than having everything over-prepared. So we are going to go through tools. We're going to go through tools that we... I don't know why that always makes you laugh. My tool of the week. Because I do get a different one every week, obviously. Top tips for being in business. What do we know now that you wish you'd have known when you started out? And I think that's it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So who's going to go first? Have you got a tool?
Yeah. Considering I go first most weeks, I'll make sure I'm ready.
Do you sort one out first?
Yeah, because you put me on first.
You do know it's coming. I did think of one on the way down. I thought of one and I've forgotten it. I'll wait.
I know it's an existing tool, but they have put a new update in, and it's Canva, and they've put my maps in.
And have always, they?
Yeah, they have. Ooh. Yes, because I'm very much being very visual when I'm planning. I like to sort of have the mind map, and then from the mind map, pull it into like a plan, etc. And it has gone live middle of the week. So
why? What
that.
Is their purpose behind that? Is it so that you can publish a mind map as part of a presentation,
yes.
or is it to help you mind map?
Both, actually. So there's a you can use it to mind map yourself. So, for instance, I always. Old-fashioned, I start off with posting those other brands there. I just start like a brain dump, but then I like to pull it visually. And yeah, so they've got that. But you can also, if you're doing training or anything, you can include it or into your presentations as well. And I like that. And again, you know, I find Canva very much responsive to what's going on. So yeah, I've playing around with that. It's dead easy to use as well. Some of the other mind map tools I've bought, you need a PhD to work them. And it just cuts my creativity.
Yeah.
Then I lose my creativity. But because I love Canva, the mind map was much more natural, because I've bought too many brain mind map apps and just dropped them after probably about 10 minutes.
Did not know they did that, so thank you. And Maddie has been using Canva. She's been using Canva this week. She's been creating images and just sort of learning how to use it, because it's a super tool wherever it is that you're going, I think, in life. If you're going to be producing anything at all, Canva is a really, really good thing to learn how to use, because you can create images without having to go through the heavy lifting, really, of learning something like Photoshop. So there we are. Maddie, you can mind map. Mind maps are brilliant for sort of sorting out your thoughts and all of that sort of thing, especially if you're like me and you have like 25 million every second and don't know where they all are. Katrina, have you got a tool that you use for business?
Well, being a photographer, obviously I use Photoshop, so I don't use Canva. I think it's not really a tool per se. Spotify, probably about a month or so ago, started allowing you to put videos on. So that was amazing.
I tell you what, you didn't know this. This is why we do this. It's got nothing to do with anybody else. Right? What I do is I just get people on so that I can find stuff out. If I've got a particular problem, I invite them onto the show. So you know,
it's amazing. Obviously, we do video casts. So when we do our podcast, we always video it anyway, and we've always had to do two files: audio and then obviously the video. Host audio onto Spotify. Well, now you can just do both, and if you want to, if you prefer, then you can strip the audio. It automatically does it for you. But the problem is the platform is a bit cloggy and it does take a while to upload.
Well, that's not the end of the world, is it? You can plan to do something
else. It's been about 6-7 weeks you've been able to put videos up now. So that's my tool.
So when you do your podcasting, are you using a tool sort of like Zoom or what's the other one?
Well, I use Anchor, if that's
Oh, right, yes, yes. Platform. Anchor, Spreaker, they have... They have a way for you to actually record your podcast sort of live,
same
don't you?
With, yeah, okay. Same with that. So, so Anchor, you can record straight onto it, but obviously we don't. Being a professional photography video studio, we film. Ours are not live, so...
Okay. You see, this is this is something we want to do. You see, I'm at it, and I'm finding out how we can do it. But because we record into we're recording into a studio as opposed to recording into something that's also taking a video.
See, so there's a bit of a gadget called Blackmagic.
Oh, see, look,
you need a Blackmagic.
There we go. Just let me write that
device
down here.
And it has four channels. You can have four cameras connected, and as soon as someone speaks, camera one to four, five, starts recording straight away.
That has just solved live. That has just solved that problem, because we are considering going out live on Twitch.
Yes.
But what we need is a way of tying
Black
up
magic.
The That's audio, the audio with the video.
Yet.
So, okay, Black Magic. That's what we need.
That's what we used to
and then turn it into something that potentially we can load up onto Spotify,
absolutely.
But also that we can put out on YouTube.
Yeah, and then obviously you can use short ads, chop down the video for social media.
See, now look at what we've learned. Thank you.
Black magic.
Black magic.
Black magic. We will sort that out. So, Lucy, have you got a tool that you can recommend?
Well, apart from the social media planner, I love Canva. Everybody loves Canva. I live in it. But Agorapulse is a really good social media content planning tool. So if you want to plan your content and you want to listen for what's going on out there in terms of what people are saying about you and that kind of thing, and if you want to measure the ROI of your social media, so like what's the return on investment, this tool is absolutely amazing. There are different packages available for kind of like bigger organisations, agencies and that kind of thing, or smaller businesses, but it's really good. And if you look on my Twitter at Lucy Shao and scroll down a little bit, you'll see that we've got a free ROI guide as well from Agorapulse on the Digital Women website, so you can download it and have a look, and it will help you to understand how to work out the ROI of your social media.
So when you say listening, what is it that Agorapulse enables you to do? Because I think this is something that people get sort of quite confused about when they're going out and they're picking a tool to help them with their social media. It's very often they look at something that's going to help them schedule and post their social media, but that it's not just, you know, that's a one-way street, isn't it, of chucking content out. So what is it that Agorapulse do as far as the listening is concerned?
Well, there's so many features in Agorapulse, by the way. But in terms of listening, you can set up things like keyword alerts, so you can listen out for certain words or hashtags or phrases and that kind of thing. So that if people are talking about your business, say if you have a bigger business or a brand where people talk about you a lot, you'll be able to have alerts to see that people are talking about it and go out and engage with people. So even if you're not on social media most of the time, you will be on social media because your customers will probably be talking about you. So it means that you can find that rather than having to kind of like scroll through Google and do all these different things. You'll be able to see straight away what people are saying about you. And
so it opens up that it becomes more of a dialogue than a publication of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And you can manage your community and your inbox. There's loads of other things that you can do. It's well worth checking out. I've got a 2-month free trial of Agorapulse actually, but it's on lucyshow.com under tools, and it's got a free 2-month trial on there, so it might be worth having a go, trying it out and see if it works.
Yeah, I was going to say, so from a subscription, if you're a small business, you know, is it a reasonable price ticket? So there's different options to subscribe.
Yeah, there is. There's a lower cost version for smaller businesses, and then you've obviously got your bigger kind of like agency and that kind of thing, because you can have multiple accounts for your agency, and you have content calendars that you can, share with people that need to sign off content and that kind of thing as well. So starting off from basic scheduling all the way up to, you know, social listening, working out your ROI and that kind of thing as well. So pretty cool.
Okay. A tool I'm using, I've just started using it this week, it's by Momentum Planner, who I think they're called Productive Flourishing, who for quite some time have been producing a planner that you can download and print. Quite big, and it goes sort of through every single, it goes, you know, annually, then it goes down to quarterly goals, monthly goals and weekly goals, and then daily stuff and what you can put in. And they've now created an app, which, because it's just sort of starting out, is, please don't go there and expect it to be perfect, because it's just not. But it does a couple of things that I really like. So this is not a project manager, although it talks about projects and sort of what you're doing around projects. It's not a project manager. But what it does is it enables you to put together in one place your events, as in your meetings and everything that's that you've already got planned, alongside tasks, and for you to also schedule those tasks, some of them in between the meetings, which may sound like, well, okay, but surely this is just a calendar. It sort of is. It's a little bit more involved than that, but it is. But you can do it without actually having to synchronize it with your calendar, because nearly everything else that will do that and does it sort of automatically, you have to synchronize your Google calendar or your whatever calendar it is you've got. Well, I don't know about you, but my calendar is just an absolute riot of a mess. And I just leave it to get on with it. It's a general brain dump for me, where I just put in things and reminders, and then I pick them up. Well, of course, if you're scheduling, if you're synchronising that with a time management tool, you've got a load of old crap in there that actually isn't what you want. You're laughing, Katrina.
I'm laughing because I'm old school. I still have paper diary.
I need to evolve. The reason I don't, I'm very much paper, and this is why I also like this, is it's really easy to print it out, and you can print it out and get a monthly view, a weekly view, and a daily view with everything on it that you need to do. And I love to have something to scribble on, and I like to have paper to take around with me. What worries me about a diary is I'm going to lose it and that my entire life is going to just be chaos. It's chaotic enough as it is, and then I end up have to photograph it all. Well, you know, this way madness lies. Now I've now got pictures of it all. But also the other thing is that schedule, you know, sort of changing schedules and saying, well, actually, something's happened, because also the Momentum Planner deals with emergent tasks. Because I don't know about you, but I've never sat down and started going through things where something else hasn't happened to come in on top, or where I've had to shift. And it's the emergent tasks that I find knock stuff off. And so then rescheduling everything in a paper planner, to my mind, just becomes it's just a big scribbly mess. So I'm just sort of getting to grips with that, actually. So it's Momentum Planners. I can't remember what the app is actually called. It's something like App Hello Happy Momentum or something. I'll tell you what I'll do is, how about this?
Please, I need to.
I'll share it, shall I?
I've been struggling, actually, trying to find a diary that kind of fits my needs as a businesswoman.
There isn't one.
No, this is it. And so especially with photography and videography, then the studio time, then your personal life as well. Mm. It's trying to find that tool, whether it's paper or digital, that manages all of that.
Well, actually, this is how I've ended up with this. So I've been using the paper one for a while, but when it became digital, it's a bit buggy. Mm. It's a bit buggy. But when it became digital, that enabled me to start moving things around, and it became a lot easier and not so much scribbling. And it's that. So it that is sort of what it does.
Oh, scary. Moving on to digital.
Yeah,
scary.
The thing is, but you can print it out. I like to have a pen in my hand. You know, I'm a writer. I like to have a pen in my hand. I find that's how I sort of function. My brain works when I have a pen in my hand. It doesn't necessarily work properly when I'm looking at a screen. I print it out and then I have what I need to work from, and I can scribble.
I was going to say, if you also have an iPad Pro, you can get good notes. You can create your own planners in there, which means that if you need to hold a pen in your hand and you're happy with a digital device, because you can download my planners onto that and use them as well.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, the Apple Pencil. You can use
Apple Pencil, and you can create your own planners in there. You can buy templates for it and that kind of thing, so you can get exactly what you need and still have that pen and screen experience, and kind of merge the two into one as well.
I've got a Remarkable, which isn't as sophisticated. Well, it's not as sophisticated. So it's the pen and paper experience, but without the backlit, and you can't add apps onto it or anything like that. So it does nothing at all, even though it's more expensive, I think. It's because it's not backlit, and because it doesn't do anything else, there are no distractions. And you can download templates onto them. But I didn't find that a particularly good use of it for me, because I like to be able to see everything. Whereas on the Remarkable, you have to sort of turn a page. So you have one page and you turn another page and then you turn another page. And I like to be able to see all of my pages all at the same time. But so you can download my social media planner.
You can buy a digital
version. Okay,
and,
super.
Yeah, we've got the little awareness days books you can get a digital version of, and you can write down notes about all the awareness days and that kind of thing that you want to create content around as well.
So that's brilliant. So that you can do literally the whole thing with it. I love that.
Yeah, you can have physical or digital.
She's so clever. She's so clever.
Not really, but
don't start that. Okay, so should we do the, what are we doing now, your top tip for being in business? Have you got one?
I have a bit of a recurring theme, and I think it's for me is making sure you've got the right team around you, and then also a little bit of our conversation before where making yourself not a single point of failure. So that's something I wished I'd started a little bit earlier. I've caught up and I've built in a team, but making sure I'm not a single point of failure.
And the reason that came about, should we tell them how that came about? Is we are we are setting up a business, it's not networking, is it? It's like a sort of workshops, networking, support, accountability.
Yeah.
And Adele and I have decided to do it together as opposed to separately, because that means that if, you know, there's just somebody else there on the day. Mm. There's somebody else that is sharing stuff. There's somebody else that's building stuff. Mm. There's somebody else that's supporting the people that are there as well. Yeah. You know, so if I do break my leg, or if something does happen to Adele or something, I mean, we'll have to be like the royal family. We won't be able to travel together. We'll have to go over it separately. It just means that everybody has that sort of support, including us.
Yeah, we're taking the show on the road.
We are. You see, I want a Winnebago, actually. So I've been talking about this for a while. I'm thinking of renting out.
I met a man yesterday who tried to sell me.
Did you?
A Winnebago. So I know where one is.
Oh.
I'm
seriously considering getting a Winnebago, like renting the house out and just getting a Winnebago and just going and parking up there.
Doing the show.
I could go to All Hallows for the week, couldn't I? I could drive a whole 5 miles up the road. I would like to do that.
This show on the road.
Perhaps we'll get a road show. I'm not sure we get too many people in a Winnebago, even if we've got a very big one. Anyway. That was it, not being a single point of failure.
Yeah.
I love that. Katrina, have you got a top tip for being in business?
I think being consistent is key. So you might have all these wonderful ideas, but being practical about those ideas. You know, people set these KPIs, key performance indicators, for those that don't know. And they say, oh, I want to, you know, this time next year, Rodney, I'm going to be a millionaire. I think it's being practical. And like you were saying, surround yourself with people, like-minded people, people that are in business as well, that get it. Because I speak to so many women during networking that say, my husband doesn't really talk to me about my business. He doesn't get what I do. And they don't have that support at home. Or the other half's concerned about is, well, how much are you bringing in? How much are you spending? And it's not really giving them the support that they need. And I like the fact, and I've said this for years, so I'm really pleased that you ladies are doing this, that there is a gap in that something. There's networking for women, but there's something missing from either a mentoring support or, like you said, the workshops, giving people that skill set that they may be losing. Because as we know, running a business, you have to be your receptionist, your accountant, your marketing person, everything. And we may not have the strength. So by that, I'm coming on your roadshow.
And one of the things that we want to achieve is that there's a regularity to this, so it's monthly, so that there's support, that there's an app where people can be in, and it's not Facebook. So there's a group that goes beyond Facebook, which is a private group, so that there's a sort of a connection beyond. But it's not just come to a workshop, learn some stuff, and then go away again.
I like the accountability aspect of it. Yeah, so, you know, what have you learnt? You know, what have you done? You said you were going to do this month and you haven't. You know, what's going on? Is there emotional blockage? What's, you know, and that's what the support is. So, yes, amen to that. Yes.
And you may be surprised to know, I was actually surprised to realise, that the workshop-wise and speakers that we're going to have there actually are all focused around the Women in Business Big Show and the topics that we had there. So startup zone, the growth zone. So we're going to have the business structure, the data, the meat, if you like, of starting and growing a business, which is now what the first half of this show is about. And then the softer side of it, the looking good, the feeling good, the having the confidence, the, you know, if you're mine and Adele's age, you know, not peeing your pants when you stand up to talk because your pelvic floor muscles.
We are fit for business.
And so those are going to be the two elements that we're looking at. It's also about confidence, self-care. You know, what do you put on your face? Where do you get your eyebrows done?
How do you get good headshots?
If you don't like having your photo taken, what can you actually do about that? So it's those two aspects of it. And that's what it's about. Because we can't just all look at business plans. You know, it's not all business plans and productivity. There's people under here as well. That's it. Have you got a top tip for being in business, Lucy?
I've got lots, but I guess I think, especially if you're starting out, I think get comfortable with failure, because you're going to fail a lot of times, and it doesn't mean that you're necessarily doing anything like wrong or worse than anyone else. It's just learning. You're just learning. And when you start a business, often you're learning as you go along, unless you have like a lot of funding, a lot of people behind you who know what you're doing. If you're doing it on your own, you will fail, but if you do fail, you learn and you come back with something much better, I think.
Yeah, 100%. And my one very quickly is, sometimes you have to wait for the dots to join up. So don't throw everything out. Don't look at everything in despair. You know, get your pen and paper out, write some stuff down. And I think ask your brain to join the dots. To say, okay, how does all of this lot fit together? And after about 10 or 12 years...
It might tell you.
you very often find that all of the dots join together and you find that there is actually a theme. And suddenly it all makes sense. So just ask your brain, how does all of this lot fit together? If you find yourself on lots and lots of different projects all over the place, and they may seem quite sort of disparate, That's disparate, not desperate. Just ask your brain, how does all of this lot fit together? Eventually you'll get the answer. And if you don't get the answer, give it, like I say, about 10 years. It will be, you will see what doesn't fit and what you can actually get rid of.
And again, not just us, people. People come in, you meet people and they go and you think, oh, why did I meet that person? And then sometimes you meet them again. Now I know. So it's not just tasks and opportunity. It's people you meet via networking and you bump into them and go, aha. So I think it's people as well as activities for me personally.
Yeah. And especially if you meet somebody and they say something that makes you feel unhappy. Just sit back and go, ooh, why did that tick up? Why, you know, what was it about what they said or did that made me cross, upset, tearful, doubt myself? What did they say? Because very often that's where your hidden weakness is sitting, or what you feel that is your weakness. It isn't necessarily. Right, okay. I think it's time for, I tell you what, where were we going to do that amazing thing? Are we going to do it now? I think we should very quickly, but I want to get into the planning, into the social media planning.
Show two.
Is it show two? Okay, you'll have to wait for that one, folks. Sorry. I can't read, that's the problem. Okay, we are going to talk about planning your social media content. So, Lucy, what is one of the key reasons you should plan? And I say that is that to me, I think one of the things, sort of having started business at a time when there wasn't really any social media going on, and then sort of social media started. When you come at it from, I make myself sound very old, don't I? But when you come at it from that far away, it was all about sort of social media being about sort of conversations. And now we're talking about actually, well, okay, it's not I'm here, I'm going to shove something out right now. We're talking about planning it. So why should we be planning it?
Well, first of all, social media marketing is marketing. It's not just about showing content out and hoping that someone's going to see it. We have to put together our goals and our plans and that kind of thing that fits in with our wider business strategy, so we know, you know, what to expect. We know what we're going to, we hopefully know what we're going to achieve, who we're talking to and all of that kind of thing. So before you even start posting on social media, you need to have a social media content plan, and that actually involves the strategy, that involves understanding what your goals are, that involves understanding who your target customer is, because at the end of the day, the content you create has to come back to those goals. It also has to come back to who is my customer, and that's the most important thing. And that's why I created the planner, because it's one place that a business owner can pick up, and they can write down everything that's in their head, or everything that they've planned already, or can go take it into meetings if you're a social media manager, for example, and they can write down what the goals are for the next 1 month, 3 months, 6 months and a year, and then they can write down all of the ideas they have for content and get it out in one place, and they can write down exactly who their customer is. So we know, I think the thing is, when people are creating social media content, often they'll create content that they like or that's promoting their business, but what we're trying to do is create content that is going to make our customer want to be part of our audience or be part of what we're doing, so that they want to buy from us eventually, or so that they feel like when we have something to sell, they want to, you know, they want it basically. But you can only do that, I think, by planning and creating content that has the right call to actions and the right copy and the right amount of creativity that's going to capture their attention. And obviously there's a lot more that goes into content planning than that. But the reason I created that social media content planner is because a lot of the time in the Q&As and that kind of thing that I do, or a lot of the time in the trainings and stuff that I've been doing, or working with business owners, they'll say, oh, I don't know what to post. I feel so overwhelmed. I look at social media every day and I'm a vet and it's National Dog Day, and I didn't know it was National Dog Day. So I quickly created something in Canva and shoved it up on there. Or it's National Chocolate Day and I run a chocolatier. I'm a chocolatier. And I just realised it's National Chocolate Day. So I just created this post. Well, the thing is, if you know in advance that all of these things are happening, you can sit down and you can plan campaigns and create content around it. And if you sit down and write what you want to post or what you want to create in your planner, even if you don't go onto a social media content scheduling tool like Agora Plus, you can open up your planner each day and go, yes, that's what I'm going to post today. If you're that kind of business owner who does it day by day, who has that half an hour in the morning to do their social media, and you know, you're very organised at that, you can do it like this. You know, for me and for our clients and our agency and that kind of thing, we'll create the content plan, the different types of pillars of content we're going to create, and then we will schedule some of the content out, but we will always make time to ensure that we're engaging with people and that kind of thing as well. But, you know, the planner is like a one-stop shop for everything you need when creating a social media content plan, basically. Even down to, you can put your social media analytics in there so you know how your content's performing, and you can write notes about, you know, what kind of content worked best this month and that kind of thing as well. And, of course, you can do all of that digitally, but for many of us, we spend most of our time in front of a computer, so it's very hard to feel creative when you're sitting in front of a computer all day. So by having your planner in front of you, you can use the stickers that are in there, pens, colourful pens.
The stickers, stickers.
Sorry, can I stop? Mine's still in the cellophane.
Yeah, they're like, at the back, there's about 500 something like little stickers that you can use, so you can post in your little boxes what channels you're going to post on, like if you're going to do an email or something like that. Just makes it super easy.
The stickers.
Is there Wonder Woman stickers? Because if there are, I'm all over that.
There are stickers. I'm just looking at this, and something that has just struck me about the planner, and obviously I'm not going to go, this is quite a hefty thing, this, so I'm not going to be going through everything in it, but just some of the things that have struck me that are useful, that I think other people will find useful, is that it's pulling you through thinking about your brand.
Yeah.
And so if you're you may not actually be doing your own social media posting, you may not be setting that up yourself, you may not be creating the images. If you're anything like me, I'm terrible at it. But there's information here that you can gather together, because it's the sort of thing that the person who is posting this for you actually needs to know. And do you really want to be sending it off in little bits and pieces in the Slack channel? Whereas it's actually all in here.
I think that's important. I think people need jerk reaction, don't they, with social media posts? Yeah. I think if you've got a plan, and it's scheduled, and you can work out, obviously you have your what your thing is that you're posting, and then obviously your different channels, you will do a different type of video, or you'll speak differently depending on the social media platform. And like you were saying, Sean, when I first come into business, there was only two or three social media platforms out there 10 years ago. Now I've kind of lost count on how many they are. So this is an amazing tool to kind of keep it all together. Absolutely, 100%. Yeah.
And the other thing that I'm struck with as I'm going through this, and I think this is something that I've been guilty of myself, and I think a lot of people who are starting to post on social media do, is that they actually start in the wrong place. They sort of start in the middle, whereas this is sort of pulling you through things like not just what is your brand, but actually what isn't your brand. What don't you talk about? What don't you use? And you know, what does your business stand for?
That your business personality, like, is something we often talk about, our own customer persona, but we don't talk enough about our own business personality, because our business's personality is not always us. If you're a personal brand, that's your personality. Don't try and be something else, because you'll get found out. But if your business is separate to you, you have like your own company, that will tend to have a different personality. It will take on a life of its own, and anybody could do the social media for that, but they'd need to know what's acceptable for me to say and what's not acceptable for me to say. The same as when you've got consistency in the color palettes and your fonts and that kind of thing, you need consistency in your tone of voice so people get to know you. One of my favorite brands is Innocent Smoothies on social media, or Innocent, because they are just a very reactive brand, and they have a very fun and exciting personality, and you know who it is before you've even seen their brand. You know it's them because of the things that they say.
Is this Innocent as in the smoothies?
Yes, exactly. And you know them on social media. Actually, I talked about how great they were before on Radio 5, you know, the one, the Saturday morning one. I didn't realise I had about like millions of viewers. And I was like, and I was just having a chat. And anyway, and then they sent me a massive box of smoothies.
Oh, wow. Oh, how lovely. Right, who can I speak about? I like Kit Kats.
I like Ferraris.
I like Chanel.
Oh, I was keeping it real.
Oh, okay then. I like Maseratis. Just a couple will be fine.
Will be good. But I got a message from the social media manager on LinkedIn saying, "Oh, one of my bosses said they heard you talk about me on the radio. Fabulous. Thank you so much. What's your address? I'm going to send you something." And then they sent me all these movies. So I just thought, that was really nice. But the point is that, you know, some brands do better than others on social media, and small business owners, some business women do better than others, you know, and it's not all about just every day waking up and thinking, oh my God, what am I going to post? Wasting half an hour thinking about what am I going to do today? Yeah. I don't know, and getting stressed about it and seeing that everyone else is posting them, feeling like you're behind. It's about planning it and knowing what you're posting and when, so that it makes it much easier, saves you time, makes you feel less overwhelmed, and then you feel like a bit of a superhero on social media because you are, because you're planning.
And I think the other thing is, you know, if this sounds, you know, sort of contrived, you think, well, okay, is that really, you know, you sit here and you plan it. When we go and look at somebody's social media channel, you know, I think that I look at stuff and I feel inspired sometimes. Sometimes I feel thoughtful. Sometimes I get an idea. So I'm sitting there scrolling all day. I'm not talking about that, but just going and having a look at stuff. And to come up with stuff that inspires other people, you sort of do have to think about it, don't you? You have to sit down and give it give it the thought it deserves.
A lot of the big brands are using user content. So I'm not going to mention any big brands because I'm not sponsored. But they're using their user content. So they're putting a call out for people saying, send us your videos, send us this. So you could do something like that. As long as, like you were saying, it fits into, as Lucy was saying, it fits into your personal brand and your ethics and your morals, then obviously you could use that content and send them some sort of disclaimer, say, thank you very much. You know, you're now giving me permission to use this on my social media platforms. A lot of the big brands are using that now, and it's saving them a lot of time.
One of the things that you're right, one of the things we do to save us a lot of money in ad spend for social media planners is we send them this beautiful pink box wrapped in tissue paper with a nice sticker and a little card that says, sorry, I didn't bring the box today, I was too much to carry. but you'll see it on the website anyway. And then when
special.
You open it up, when people open it up, they just want to do a video or they want to take photos of it and share
unboxing.
It on social media. In unboxing, they do. People do unboxings of them. Like in January, my whole feed is full of people unboxing like the social media planners and that kind of thing. So that can definitely be part of your...
And you can ask your audience to be as creative as possible. Yeah. You know, the most creative one wins such and such.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and people love winning something, don't
they? People sometimes do it just because they want to do it. They don't even want to win anything, which is really nice. Well, a lot of the time they do. Like, I always share stuff when I get it from Beauty Pie, like the beauty place, all the skincare stuff. It always comes in a really nice box and it has a little thing with Instagram saying, share your... you know, skincare on there and stuff like that. So all of those things, I think, make a difference to whether people are going to create and share content for you. When you're doing your own content, you are right, Sian, like making sure that you take time to think about the content you're creating. On Digital Women, if you look on our LinkedIn page, we've gained 40,000 new followers in the last year by really thinking through the content that we're creating and that kind of thing. Some of our posts are receiving 1,000 likes on some of the more kind of inspirational, helpful posts that are helping people with their career. We know we've got lots of women in digital careers and digital women, so to give them that little, like, you know, bit of oomph every day and tell them they're doing okay and that kind of thing.
But really, I look forward to your weekly roundup, because then I haven't got to worry about what I need to keep updated on, because I just know it's going to come.
Do you read it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because
I'm
busy.
My day a little bit.
No, I'll tell you what, because I'm busy in my business trying to do everything. Yeah. And if I have to try to keep up, social media is not, I know I need it as a channel because it just is. I haven't got, my business isn't at the level where I've got an agency doing it for me. So it really is me. Yeah. So to know that, because I work, I know you trust you, and I get that newsletter in, I go, great. So I just go, right, da 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 da. It's the speed of trust. And then I know where to focus, because if everyone's got an opinion on everything, and you can't be everything to all people, but I know you, I trust your brand, I know what you're doing. So every time I get your news, I'll just dead easy. I'll just scan it Friday. Yeah, I need to be aware of this.
You're one-stop shop, aren't you?
You do that for me. So in theory, you're part of my team without being in my team, because you have to do that, because there is not enough hours in the day to run the businesses, because we're especially at this tipping point where you haven't got the earnings to have a team doing it for you.
Yeah.
So we need all the help. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
I think what I'm getting from this, I've got a couple of thoughts, really, perhaps of people who are starting out.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you in a minute, Lucy, for, you know, how you would advise somebody who is either starting out brand new on social media, who is starting at their business and thinking, where am I going to go with this? But just a sort of around the personality of your business and how you're going to get that out on social media. I think that's such a, I just love that as a concept, because, you know, I'm not really a very fun person. You're highly unlikely to see me doing anything what I would call daft, or, you know, I'm not going to be dressed up as a clown. And
everybody's like looking like, what is she saying? No, she is like, quite
Ooh,
fun.
I would no, say
I'm not, no, I'm not. No, yeah. no,
you mean
no.
TikTok-y, pointy videos?
I'm not. I don't do slapstick. I may laugh a lot, but I don't do sort of slapstick fun. No, you're not going to see me there with a pair of pants on my head or anything. I'm just not like that.
That's not your personality. Exactly.
But if you sometimes when you go out on social media, yeah. that's what you see, and you know you can fall into the trap of thinking, oh God, I shouldn't be doing that. Oh, they're a lot more fun and energetic than I am, or whatever. And it's about that. Okay, what is my personality? And my personality is actually quite introverted and serious, as it happens. I just find some things funny. And about how you go with that, and perhaps looking at, you know, you've recommended, you know, the Innocence brand, you can see what you're getting with them, is that to actually go and look at some brands where you might have an idea of the sort of personality that sits behind the brand, because you know it, and because you can probably find that information somewhere else. You know, I think we could probably guess what Apple, you know, Apple's ethos and sort of brand values are, and go and look at what they're putting out.
I've done a training course called How to Create and Plan Your Social Media, CPD accredited, and it's all recorded. Sometimes it's in person, and it literally takes you through everything that's in the book and teaches you how to create a social media plan, how to work out what your business personality is, like looking at other brands and working out what their business personalities are, thinking about the words that really describe your business. Not yourself, because you know who you are, but your business. Like, are you, because you might be a very fun and enthusiastic, exciting person, but you might run an accountancy practice, which is for very serious companies, and you have to be very serious and make people trust you very much and that kind of thing. And so your accountancy practice is very different from you, who's a very exciting over the top person who's very chatty.
I think, and I think, you know, when you look at the sort of on the accountancy side of things, I've seen that go so wrong where people try to convince the world that they're accountants. Hey, but we're fun.
Yeah. The amount of times
we're
I've had
fun accountants.
I've had accountants come to me for photo shoots, and I'm like, oh my goodness, how am I supposed to make this fun? You know, you can't have an accountant laying in a bed of money going, you know. And it goes back to what you were saying about, you know, well, what's your ethos? Mm. What's your brand? And a lot of them go, I don't know. Well, what buzzwords do you use that maybe we can interpret that in the photo shoot? And they've got no idea. So then I feel like I'm their social media branding expert. And then we have a whole session, which I still do. You know, I'm happy to do that. But it's just like, it'd be really nice if you guys knew what you were doing. Yeah. It would help me a bit.
And I think if you're doing that sort of thing, you know, like if you're a plastic surgeon, if you're an accountant, if you're doing something along those lines, where there's a great deal of audience trust, where your client has to trust you, I think you need to be really, really careful and perhaps not go too far into that. If you're going to go into the, hey, I'm going to be fun, you've got to be so damn good at it. Otherwise, it's just going to... I saw a dentist who came...
The singing dentist.
No, not even that.
He's amazing.
No, I'm not talking about... No. This is a long time ago. We had a... So I can talk about it. We had a dentist come to us ages ago to sort out their website, where it was dirty fingers and holding mouths open, and it was just unbelievable. But what they wanted was to look like friendly and real, and it was like, you ain't putting those fingers anywhere near my mouth. So you've got, I think you've just got to be so careful before you try and step outside and get too clever, because people don't look at clever. They don't register clever, do they? They look and they see what's in front of them, and that's what they go with. They don't go beyond and try and work out what your business name is or why you might be posting a dirty picture on your website when you're a dentist and grubby nails. Yeah. Anyway, I'm waffling on. Kel Surprise, Lucy, starting out, what's your advice to somebody starting out on social media or starting their business? How are they going to get going, getting their content right?
Well, first of all, I just want, if you're starting out your business, that social media is not the most important thing that you can do. Like, you have to understand, get all of those things right first. Who are you as a business? Like, what are your business goals? What is your mission statement? What do you actually do? And how can you help people? And how are you going to sell to people? And all of that kind of thing. And then, when it's time to create your social media or your marketing strategy, for example, I know a lot of it is social media now. It's much cheaper and easier to get involved with social media than it is many other, like, forms of marketing. But I think, you know, just make sure that you understand what you want to get from the beginning from this channel or these channels, okay? Because it is a marketing channel. It's not somewhere that you're going to make loads of friends. Well, it is, you can make loads of friends. But when it comes to your business, this is, you don't care if people are going to like you or what people are going to think. You just want the people you're targeting or the people you want to be your customers to feel like they can trust you and they can buy from you and that you're able to showcase your products and your services in a way that makes people want to buy them, basically. If you have a terrible product or a terrible service, no amount of social media or good branding is going to sell that product or service for you. So all of that's most important. Think first, but then actually sitting down and really, really thinking about what it is that you want to do, how you're going to achieve it, putting smart goals down, making sure that your goals, you know, are very, you know, you understand like what it is you want to achieve and when you want to achieve it and how you're going to do it and what type of post you're going to create, and then make sure that you measure all the way through the process what's happened and what's worked, and then iterate, just test and iterate all the time, because you don't, it's not a silver, whatever you do, it's not going to be a silver bullet. You're going to learn all the time. Some things are going to fall flat on their face and other things are going to do amazingly well. Don't expect to go viral. Don't expect, you know, the whole world to blow up because you've put something out on social media. A lot of the time, it's like you were saying, it's about consistency and making sure that you're consistently putting great content out for the right audience, but also consistency in your tone of voice, consistency in the look and feel of your content and that kind of thing as well. And it's a long-term process. Everything it's business at the end of the day. It's not going to happen overnight. You need to build it. And when it's time to make a sale, jump in and make a sale, because sales are the thing that's going to make you money so that your business can keep running.
Yes, it's not about the, it's why you're doing the social media, isn't it? And I want to finish just on something that you said, and I want to sort of just highlight that and pull it out, because I think it was just really key. You said make your audience be a part of what you're doing.
Yeah, make them feel like they are part of what you're doing. A part of your audience may become like a community, but I think people mistake audience for community a lot of the time. A community are a bunch of people getting together around a similar problem. You know, like you guys have communities. And I have a community, Digital Women, that people come together around that community because they have a common problem. And then some brands are able to create communities. Most of them just have audiences that follow them and want to hear what they say. That's not a community. It's a different thing. But then some people do become, you know, you do get little micro communities within brands and that kind of thing, who do that because they are talking about a similar thing or they feel like they're part of what you're doing. So if you're asking people questions or if you've got a new product that you've created, and you ask your audience or your community, like, what do you think of this? Do you think we should do this in this color next time or this color? What's your favorite design? It gets people to feel like they've been part of that process. The community chose, because I asked the Digital Women community which ones, I put about 25 out, and they chose the 7 they wanted. And then the ones who chose the ones they wanted were the ones who bought it straight away, you know.
Because they were a part of it, weren't they? They were involved in the process.
The creation process. And we said, which parts of this didn't you like this year, and what parts of this did you like and stuff? And they told us, and we got rid of some parts and kept others. And, you know, some people didn't want the awareness days in the planner. But then it turns out a lot of people wanted them in there, and we took them out. So I had to create this little awareness day so I can sell that separately, which was actually better anyway, because it means that people can put the awareness dates they want into it.
Yeah, and you can include more, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, just make people feel like they're part of it. Ask them what they think about it, and you know, that aspect of creating user generated content, asking people to share their planners and what they've done with you, I think makes them feel like they're part of it as well.
I want to do two things now. First of all, I want you to tell people how they can connect with you and how they can get your planner.
Okay, so actually I've put the planners down to £10 because we're halfway through the year. So we've only got 6 months left. Doesn't make any difference because you could use the planner for 5 years, but it is dated 2022. But there's a lot of other stuff in there that you can do anyway to like build your social media brand and stuff. But you can go to mysocialmediaplanner.co.uk to get that. And you can connect with My Social Media Planned on Instagram, or me on Instagram, lucy.shao, or me on Twitter, lucy.shao. And obviously join the Digital Women community because it's amazing.
And out of all of that we've just spoken about, so thinking only about social media, what is your top tip for a businesswoman using social media to grow her business?
Okay, well, I think my top tip is to make sure that you have a strategy in place, that you've got a plan and you understand why you're doing it, yeah, rather than just going in and feeling overwhelmed and posting something every day. I think that's it.
I like that.
Yes, thank you so much. So we're going to say goodbye. Lucy Hall, founder of Social Day, Digital Women, and the wonderful, and I've got my copy here, my social media planner. Thank you so much. Thank you also to Katrina and, of course, lovely co-host Adele. And we will see you all very, very shortly. So bye. Bye. Oh, we forgot to say, Maddie, you're around the corner. I can't see Maddie. I can't see her. You see, she's down behind the things. Maddie, thank you very much for being with us for the week. She's going to be taking some wonderful photos. Thank you for joining us on the show. We will see you soon.
Tune in next week to the Women in Business radio show for more stories, ideas, and inspiration to help you grow your business. Yeah,